think they were going to come like halfway through or something. We've got the critical mass of folks that are going to provide some good input. We've got a critical mass of some good folks to give us input. Because remember, the fellows weren't going to tell us anything. They were just going to be bodies for the room.
Well, that's all I want.
Posterity, we've got no video, so that doesn't. Okay. I'm going to talk from that microphone. I know. I don't know what that reflects. That would have added what one more person. We can't assume that the lack of participation is lack of interest, but
can I see this?
Yeah. And those are a slightly different version of what I pulled up, but it's the same text. Pardon me? I am. I'm going to flip what I have.
Okay, so
we have four
documents
loaded. We're not going to put any of them
yet. We're only doing five. Okay.
Correct.
All right, so that's loaded right now. I'll just stay with you on that.
Yeah.
Which one goes first? There's agenda.
I was just going to be the talent. I'm not the organizer. Now you and I are going to go, well. What's up? I don't know. I just volunteered tomorrow.
I'll keep my sync to yours.
All right. Thank you. Could you do me a big favor of when somebody of sharing your mic?
Yes. I'm just going to get started.
Go ahead and try.
Try?
Well, I'm just going to sit here.
Good morning, everybody. For purposes of the record, I'm Rob Hogarth, Senior Policy Director for ICANN and a member of the policy team. I'm getting started now because this is only a one-hour session and we wanted to have as much opportunity for community dialogue as possible. Thank you to the attendees for dragging themselves out of bed, some of whom have already expressed to me that in the future, sessions should not be scheduled at 8 o'clock in the morning after the gala. But we appreciate the attendance and the opportunity for input. I'm behind the table literally just because I have to click the slides. But the purpose of this discussion and this session is really for dialogue. It would be better to have a round table, but we're doing what we can with the facilities that we've got. When I started at ICANN 4 years ago, the first thing that my first boss shared with me, Denise Michel, was something called the BGC report. It was the Board Governance Committee's report on GNSO improvements. And in that document, there were a number and tremendous amount of recommendations and suggestions about various improvements. And one of the areas was outreach. And what was interesting to me at the time, being new to ICANN, is that within that document alone, there were four separate definitions and references to outreach. There was not a consistent organization-wide interpretation or understanding of the definition. And over the last couple of years, we've had a number of newer initiatives coming along that have been challenging, I think, to coordinate. In some respects, there were new budget initiatives that allowed various members of the community to submit comments, questions, additional revenue requests, and the rest. And one of the challenges, I think, from both a staff and a community perspective has been, what do we mean by outreach? How is it defined? How does that help us coordinate strategically? How does that help us identify the dollars or the resources that we have available to spend? And not only how do we coordinate that within the community, within SOs and ACs, but how do we do that across SOs and ACs? And how do we do that between the community and the staff? In preparation for this meeting, Kurt Pritz shared an email with many of you or other representatives in your organizations that included several documents. One of them was an inventory that members of the staff put together regarding outreach activities that we're currently involved in. That document listed 32 different outreach-related activities, and that came from an internal document where we started with a brainstorming of 66 different outreach activities. But as we move forward with plans and activities and efforts to continue to expand the organization, bring more people in, share with the general world what ICANN is doing, it's become clear that it's important for us to establish some sort of consistent approach and reach at least a common understanding between what we mean as individual communities, individual community members, and the staff as to what is outreach, how do we define it, how can we make sure that we're using our resources efficiently. So the purpose of this session, as Kurt's invitation expressed, is simply really to begin a dialogue with all of you so that as we move toward the FY14 budget cycle, we have a real better understanding about what we want to accomplish in terms of, you know, next steps and what we were going to do and how we're going to plan things, how Xavier and his team can work with you to make sure that we're prioritizing the necessary resources and expenses for each fiscal year. So the goals for this session are really to hear from you initially as to what you all are doing, how you define outreach, what you're looking at. And I'm not doing anything with the screen. It's flashing on its own. See if we can have some general acknowledgement about what our goals are, and then discuss what next steps we might need to do to accomplish that. Kurt's going to talk a little bit about, in a couple moments, about what the staff has been talking about, because when we look at outreach, of course, there's a wide variety. Most of the people in the audience here are from the GNSO. There was a work team within the GNSO that worked very hard to come up with a number of outreach recommendations, and that effort is somewhat stalled. This meeting is not intended to necessarily break that logjam, but to look more broadly at what ICANN is doing from an outreach perspective. As I noted earlier, there's a whole bunch of different ways to look at outreach. What we're hoping to do today is focus on the community building aspect of outreach, because outreach, as you see in the inventory that's been shared with you, is covering 33 different topics. We can't do that in 45 minutes. So we figured we'd focus on the community building aspect of things. I'm going to have Kurt speak for a couple of minutes just to talk about what some of the recent staff thought processes have been. Kurt's talked at the last couple of ICANN meetings with various groups about some of the efforts that we're doing internally. And then we're going to spend the rest of the 45 minutes really hearing from all of you, just your perceptions, your brainstorms, your ideas, what you've been doing, what you want to do with respect to community building, and then share some thoughts or ideas about how we might collaborate as community members and staff to try to really get our arms around a consistent definition and approach to outreach activities. So what I'd like to do is turn it over to Mr. Pritz. Kurt, if you can give some folks a general idea and background in terms of what's brought us here, that would be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. And Rob characterized a number of communications that went out over my name, but it really was the work of others that amassed that information. Can you go back a slide? You got one that looks like that?
No, not on this one, so please wait.
Okay. So as we've discussed in prior meetings, the success of ICANN really depends on the robustness of the bottom-up model, of the multi-stakeholder model. And in defining outreach, there's a proposal that outreach is those sets of activities that encourage participation, increase participation in ICANN, builds capacity, makes that participation more effective through learning programs or education or personal growth, and there are activities that should be measurable. So I guess find that slide with the...
He froze it so it will come up in a second.
Oh, good. So this is my last 8 o'clock presentation. So in order to increase participation, either in the numbers of people or types of people that are participating, or in their effectiveness by providing training or experiences that allow people to take greater roles in outreach, such as leadership positions or coordination positions, and put that into effect across the whole ICANN community, there's quite a bit of opportunities for what we would term to be outreach activities. There are a number of constituency or stakeholder groups that large, all the GNSO constituency groups, the CCNSO, even the GAC. There's technical advisory committees. And so we want a vibrant outreach program should be populating all those different activities at the right level and populating them across all the different geographies, and not just, you know, getting people in or trying to get new people in, but then providing training and other activities so those people that are participating can become more effective, that they learn to become experts or expert advisors, that they learn to become leaders so that they can manage either working groups or become SONAC chairs and the like. And I think it's this continual movement, right? It's like a shark. If it stops moving, it dies. So it's this continuous movement, this continual introduction of new people and the bubbling up and training of new people that will allow ICANN to get the new blood in, that will allow it to change over time to match the change in the environment. I think, you know, maybe a microcosm of this is IDN Fast Track and new GTLDs, where we're getting new people involved that weren't involved before. So what's the purpose here? You know, when we go through our budgeting exercises, we get a lot of budget inputs from ICANN staff, and a lot of them are labeled outreach. And so we've got a lot of outreach activities labeled. And then we request inputs from the community, and some of those are labeled outreach. So what we want to do is, and what we've tried to do is provide a framework for what is an outreach activity. So if you define an activity that introduces new people into ICANN in some way, or even in an indirect way, or provides training and allows people to move up, that's what we would call an outreach activity. And I think what this session is about doing that planning together, so it's not a bifurcated exercise of ICANN budgeting and deciding what outreach activities it should do and then receiving some inputs from the community about outreach activities that are proposed there. Some of the activities that staff budgets for are better carried out by community members and coordinated by community members. Similarly, ICANN staff could support some of the outreach activities suggested by the community. And so in planning for outreach in the future, we see it more of a joint exercise so we can list the whole menu of activities that should be undertaken and then say, you know, that this should be done by this community sector or segment, this should be done by this. Here's how ICANN staff help out. You know, ICANN staff, you should take this one. So those decisions should kind of be made jointly in some sort of forum. And so if you can withstand looking at the screen without twitching or having a nervous breakdown. There you go. What we really want to talk, there's three questions, right? But what we really want to talk here today about in each question is how we go forward and run this thing. So when we go through our budgeting process, at the end we're providing really an integrated community staff budget proposal. And then when we're running outreach, we're doing it in an integrated sort of way. So we're not duplicating activities. We find the best, most efficient home for running that activities, and that we can justify more and get some more stuff done. And that all will benefit the multi-stakeholder model. So if the guys trying to figure out the big technical problems behind me are ready to go.
No.
Yeah, I'm not worried tremendously about the slides. The focus today is really on the dialogue and hearing from our colleagues in the audience here, sort of what their perspective is, what they're doing individually about outreach. The real challenge, I think, that we're having is, or at least that I've perceived, is that a number of different folks are looking at outreach in different ways. What I'd like to do, sir, I'll grab it, is... we're just going to start circulating the microphone and volunteering folks, unless there are folks who want to raise their hands, just to begin. Thank you, Marilyn. And since you're right next to, we've got Marilyn in the queue first, and then Bill. And I'm tied to this microphone at the moment, but then I'll walk around too. What we'd like to hear is, some of your guys' thoughts and your approach to it. We've got a number of members of staff in the audience. My role was just to sort of coordinate and facilitate the discussion. A number of other members of the team are going to be taking notes here. The idea is really to capture your input and then sort of talk about next steps. So I've got Marilyn, Bill, and then Wolf Ulrich. Okay, great. We'll get everybody in line. Thank you.
My name is Marilyn Cade, and I chair the business constituency. There are other members of the constituency here, so we'll be interacting as individuals, I think, in order to contribute to. Let me thank you for what I see as an evolution in previous discussions that is going in a direction that I feel a lot more comfortable with than I did when we were initially looking at this. I'm very happy to hear the progression of recognition of the role of the stakeholders. As we are in a bottom-up consensus-based organization, and I think in some cases, in our view, we are the best knowledge source on how to reach and broaden awareness and participation from our community. But I want to make a comment about outreach and the definition. I've been thinking a lot about this since our last meeting, and I want to park a discussion for later about the role of about how to make some significant changes in how I can, as an organization, communicates. So when I look at outreach, I do think we need to have a shared definition. For me, I have a very broad definition, and perhaps that's not working. I am thinking about outreach as possibly creating general awareness of ICANN, not for the purpose of drawing people here, but to improve the understanding of ICANN's role in an effective way and in a way that has a globalization sensitivity. So awareness is first. Understanding comes second. Maybe you need to do both of those in one step. We need to do both of those in one step. But I then look at some subpart of the people that you improve their awareness and understanding will begin to attend some aspect of ICANN, either remotely or in person, on a general basis. After they start attending, they may want to start participating in a general way. After they start participating, they then move up to participation, and then they move to contributing. Now, those steps may all, come in an homogenized box the first time, or they may be an evolution. And I think what we're doing right now at ICANN is we are trying to help people go through those steps. But I want to just say one thing I hope we are going to do in all of our messaging is reinforce the concept that you lead where you are. This is a bottom-up, consensus-based organization, and we need lots of workers and lots of contributors. And I hope we're not going to give a message that the only way you can contribute or lead is you have to be an elected leader, because we're going to lose too many people. And for us in the business community, our people may only participate in one thing, or they may take a deep dive. So I hope that's a contribution that at least where I've been coming from in looking at this. So I would say right now that our present approach to external communication is not working as effectively as we want it to.
Thanks, Marilyn. Bill?
I find myself, sorry, this is Bill Drake. I'm from NCUC, and I'm also a GNSO counselor for NCSG and a member of the board of directors of Uralo in at large. Excuse me, and I'm not awake. But I find myself pleased to say that I totally agree with Marilyn, which and on outreach, too, which is a very interesting thing. I think that we can't be too mechanistic. I mean, I understand that the staff wants to approach this from the standpoint of defining very precise elements that can be operationalized and budgeted and so on. But some of what we're talking about goes a little bit beyond that, I think, in a way. For me, I agree with her that a fundamental to outreach is this awareness component. And as I look at your list of 33 items, I see you do have some stuff there that speaks to this point with regard to, for example, public speaking and attendance of various events, one-on-one government briefings, etc. These are things that are geared towards affecting how ICANN is perceived in the outside world, in a way. And I think that that outside world dimension is really, really important. So for me, if I think about outreach, you've got several different components. You've got, first I'd say, inreach. You need inreach to engage the people who are already there and make them feel like they can really contribute and make a difference. One of the biggest problems I think we find in the non-commercial space is a feeling among some members that really we can't really influence policy decisions very much or influence the activities of the organization very much. It's most things are going to be driven by parties that have more resources and more influence, whether it's the commercial players or it's the GAC. So I think that one of the problems for us is always trying to keep people mobilized and energized when they think that we can adopt all the resolutions and write statements and whatever we want, but at the end of the day, they're not going to really substantially impact things. So the inreach dimension is something that the stakeholders have to work on themselves, but there has to be an environment and a framework that supports that, that makes people feel that they can contribute and it does make a difference. So that's one thing. There's also, I think, the question of reaching out and bringing in new people. That's the kind of the main thing that you're really focusing on here, beyond the existing members. And that entails a number of components. I'll tell you a very quick story. We were in Nairobi a few years ago. There was a board public participation workshop that was focused on outreach to developing country participants. And I went into the room, and it was me and Marilyn and Aisha and about 50 other, may I say, Caucasians from the industrialized world. And there were two Africans in the room. And I went over and I chatted with one of them after the session. And I said, you know, this is a session focused on outreach to developing countries. Why do you think there aren't more people here? We're in Nairobi. And the guy said, well, you know, you look at this Excel spreadsheet and there's a little box that says public participant. And you don't know what it is. The session wasn't marketed to people in a way that would make them think, oh, I'm a developing country person thinking about how to get engaged in ICANN, and this is really, you know, the session that I should go to that will tell me how to do that. So that's kind of a little thing that I think. I think that there has to be, personally, and we can come back to this later, more of a, there needs to be some dedicated space within ICANN that is identifiably geared towards developing countries in a way, and I have some suggestions about that, but we can come back to that particular dimension. And then, yes, there's the, beyond that, there's the larger global engagement. And there, Marilyn and I and others here who spend a lot of time in the broader geopolitical environment of internet governance constantly find that the misperceptions about ICANN, or perceptions that are not entirely missed but perhaps twisted a little bit, can often be very strong. You know, I live in Geneva. I'm around governments. I go to meetings sometimes at ITU. You hear people say things about ICANN that are quite astonishing. And then, you know, you come into the meeting here, and it's a very different discussion. And when we've raised these kinds of issues, NCSG, with the board repeatedly in our meetings with the board over the past years, and I guess I've felt a little frustrated that a lot of times the board, I feel like, just kind of stared at us blankly, like it wasn't really registering what the problem was, you know, or that there was an issue. The last point I would make, just by way of introduction, we did go through this whole exercise in the GNSO that was kind of difficult. And one of the things that made it difficult was we didn't know what the staff were doing. And we kept asking. I mean, we asked point blank a number of times to staff that were on the lists that were discussing these topics. Gee, it would help us to figure out at the council and in the GNSO community what we wanted to do if we knew what larger activities the staff were engaged in. And we never really got much response back. So I would say whatever is done from here, I hope there will be a close coordination between staff and the community, and that staff won't view this as an entirely staff-driven kind of activity, because I think that would really not work very well. How to engage the community? Well, I mean, I think there's a number of different components. Certainly, you know, and now Marilyn and I can probably disagree, so we're back to normal. You know, for example, things like the capacity building discussion that started out as labeled as ICANN Academy, I think is one kind of thing where there can be close coordination. I think that there could be, in terms of the broader awareness type issues that I spoke to that I'm particularly concerned with, we have suggested repeatedly that there should be some way for the community to interact with the Global Relationships Committee and the board around some of their activities. And I'm meeting tomorrow morning with the chair of the board of that committee to discuss this point. But, I mean, you've got a lot of people in this community who have, you know, knowledge and experience that could be drawn on and who have perhaps their ear to the ground in a lot of different environments about how are people talking about ICANN. And that's not getting leveraged. And I think that in that case, that's problematic because there are a lot of people who may work in the industry who just don't have any reason to spend time thinking about, you know, what's going on in the UN or other environments. But nevertheless, some of us do. And so we could bring that in. In terms of the specific way of organizing a collective activity on the outreach to promote engagement, that there's different proposals there. We had in the GNSO this notion of an outreach task force that didn't ultimately get accepted. But the idea was there to have some sort of, I don't want to say peak association, but some sort of a coordination mechanism where the different SO, AC, and their elements talked to each other and shared information and sort of identified best practices and went about this in a way that was not completely fragmentary. Because for me, when I think about outreach, and I will stop because I'm talking too long. When I think about outreach, I don't just think about outreach to potential NCSG members. And I was saying this to Chuck the other day in the council. And I don't think the registry should just be thinking about it in terms of how to get new registries involved. It's broader than that. It's that we have a collective interest in promoting the engagement of any and all parties in this process. And so our expertise and knowledge should not just be focused on, you know, building our own little houses.
Thanks very much, Bill. Let me just let you know what the queue is right now and invite others to get into it. Right now, here in the room, I have next Wolf, then Louie, then Aisha, then Mike. Wendy, do you have a remote participant? We'll go to Wendy, then thought there was somebody. Okay, Mike, then Chuck. So just to reiterate, I've got Wolf, Louie, Aisha, Mike, Wendy, and Chuck. Thanks. Wolf, please.
Thank you. My name is Wolf Ulrich Knoben. I'm one of the vice chairs of the GNSO Council. I can agree to many of those things which have been said by Eva Bill and Marilyn. And beyond of all these more broader scopes, so we shouldn't forget what has already been done. And there has been done a lot. You mentioned, and Bill mentioned at the end, well, that GNSO put a lot of effort into that that issue of sure, outreach since the beginning of these improvements, implementation, that was more than 2 years ago. And we came to a point, there was a lot have been done regarding what kind of outreach the GNSO, from a GNSO perspective, could be done. And the GNSO scope is, let me say, more or less policy and processes in the environment of policy. So how to outreach with regards to those items? And there is a lot of effort and a lot of ideas have been put together, and there's a big bunch of paper that is written down. However, the question here was not then that we have found ideas, so what to do. The question was how to do that. So, and that was the controversial item where we still stand, how to do that. And that is not finished. That should be an ongoing discussion since we come from different approaches, from different environments, personal environments, business environments, and so, and this is what it impacts. And so if this initiative here could be a facilitator or to some extent a facilitator to that, well, to help to bring this approach to a to a success, let me say, so that the idea which have been behind not been forgotten. So that would be very helpful. So I would suggest, well, that at least that was written and the ideas behind all that should be taken up and could be taken also by others. And the other question of how we should deal with this, the more structural organizational question, should be put aside from that and should be a different discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. I think Aisha has the microphone next.
Thank you. Aisha Hassan from the International Chamber of Commerce. So a couple of things that I thought might be helpful. I do agree with a lot of what Marilyn and Bill have both said. I do, as many of you know, look at this as they do in the context of the internet governance landscape that ICANN is a part of. So a few points. In the recent meetings, I've tried very hard to engage, for instance, ICC's national committees and the companies and associations that are part of their network in the country or in the region. And what I'm finding is that despite the fact that we at ICC have a briefing note that we develop and revise each time and send out 6 to 8 weeks ahead of time, we also send out 2 to 3 months ahead of time the date, letting the national committee know to raise awareness in their membership, et cetera, et cetera. There isn't enough information available on the ICANN website about the meeting early enough for them to get their head around it. For instance, this time, ICC Czech Republic's representative, they came to the first morning or something, you know, but they weren't able to get their members to sign up. Now, some people from the business community locally are here, but I'm saying that there are some obstacles to some of the outreach efforts that ICC tries to do, and it would make a big difference if, for instance, some more information on this about the schedule was available a good 6 weeks in advance. It would really help local people's outreach efforts. I would like to underscore that the point that Bill and Marilyn made about the various outreach efforts that go on, I think a lot of us raise awareness, and Marilyn's steps are really good because we walk around the world in many situations with governments, with people from various stakeholder groups, explaining what ICANN is, explaining how the different structures work, with an eye to not only having them come to the meeting or to contribute, but just so that they know, because we sit in these meetings where negotiations are going on and ICANN is at the bullseye of the whole thing, and they don't actually understand how it works. I mean, you will be surprised how many governments, for instance, don't really know that they have a poem here. So a lot of us do outreach for a lot of different stakeholder groups on the awareness-raising level, with or without an eye to getting them to contribute. But I think that there, again, some amount of information that we can also turn to and use, or that we develop and the community can use, would be really helpful. A last point I wanted to make is, maybe I missed this, Rob, and please forgive me because I came in a couple of minutes late. Are you starting to capture the various activities in a concise format, the various outreach activities that ICANN is doing?
Yes, what Bill referenced during his remark, a document that Kurt had circulated that included an inventory of what staff has developed in terms of trying to identify everything that's going on now. So we'll make sure that we share that with a broader group and with you so that you see that. Because, you know, to sort of prime the pump, we provided the list of what we were aware of is taking place from a staff perspective.
Right.
Part of the value of this dialogue that we're starting is to learn what you guys are doing. Like you were just talking about promoting the ICANN meetings. Understanding better the bigger picture so that we can then figure out what the priorities and resources are. You may be saying, for example, that if awareness is the priority, then ICANN needs to do a better job of creating the content that then you distribute, as opposed to ICANN distributing on its own. Or maybe it's a combination of that. I mean, this is just the beginning of that discussion and dialogue. Well, if we have some time at the end of the session, we can talk about what next steps are, whether folks want to volunteer to be part of a group that keeps this alive and maybe comes to some planning or ideas about not only what we do broadly for FY14, but what we're doing for the next ICANN meeting and the one in Beijing and on beyond that.
So just on that point, thank you very much. I think that that's a good start. I think it would be helpful if we can capture in some way what happens from the community side as well. And in my view, this ties into the type of information that helps us to, I guess, defend ICANN out in the world. So a few data points that we could consider along with the outreach activities would be a place that has clear data about the participation increase across geographies, stakeholder groups, et cetera, in the past years. ICANN and the community has made a big effort there. I think it's good to show that breakdown, and it's stuff that we can use in our discussions and advocacy moments to say, participation has grown. I think, too, outreach touches on things like translation. ICANN has done an amazing job of using translation as well as remote participation facilities. All of that ties to outreach in a way as well, and I think we can really use that data to and the transcripts as well to bolster and defend the organization and the model. Thank you.
Aisha, I have a couple of questions.
Please.
So the document you send out 6 weeks in advance, is that sort of a high level set of goals for the meeting? You know, one of our struggles is balancing getting it right with a changing environment where our stakeholders want changes up to the last minute, and so wrongly, we withhold publishing what's probably 80% right, in an attempt to get the agenda right. And I think the idea of publishing something far out is excellent. And so I'm trying to get a vision of what that is so we
okay.
could do something like that.
Our briefing note is focused on key issues that would interest business. And it's really the message is why you should be here, why you should tune in remotely, why you should send somebody.
Okay.
I think what you're saying about the 80%, from my perspective, if I can send somebody to a link that says there's going to be a public participation meeting, this is what that meeting's going to be about in general. Don't know exactly which day or time yet, but just describe, hold a date, and focus on this session in your planning.
So instead of saying, here's this meeting, why you should be here, here's this meeting, why you should be here, go, why you should be here, and then talk about the meeting that's coming up.
The issues that will be discussed
right.
And what happened.
Okay.
That's what we do.
And then Yeah, and then as far as the activities inventory that we published, it's really sort of a laundry list and doesn't include the community activities or just a subset of them. And, you know, my idea of that is sort of some sort of roundtable discussion, so not in this room, where we look at those and, you know, hone the list of what, you know, which one should be on our list and then, you know, decide the best way to manage those. And then finally, you know, my message about translation, you know, we want to understand what the payoff for that is, just like all outreach activities. You know, what's the benefit of translation versus other activities so we can make the right investment decisions.
Real quickly, I noted that Marilyn and Bill have raised their hands. I've got you in the queue. Louis, you're next. And then after Louis, it'll be Mike Pelage. Then I've got a remote participant. I've got Chuck Gomes. Then I've got Marilyn, Bill, and the gentleman behind Aisha. I would note that as others start to come in, we were challenged in terms of the time of this session. We've got about 13 minutes left, but we're taking a lot of really good notes. Louis?
Thanks. I'll try to be as brief as possible. Louis Lee, ASO Address Council Chair. I want to make sure that, I want to understand if the community is also building their own leadership inside as new people come in, and because bringing in people is the first step, but beyond that, you have to get them engaged. So understand each person's strengths, and don't throw them into the whole fray, but just understand your strength and partner up with them for the specific work group that any little piece of work that might be happening in your group, and encourage them to come in and say, you know what, I'll back you up. I know what you're doing. I've been through this. So they start getting engaged and they learn along the way. And then beyond that, I've done some work with going to the different groups directly rather than having one session and expect everybody to come to me. But just doing that to get the introduction going and then identify some bilateral work group. And then in the way that ICANN can support that is perhaps to send the liaisons, if you would. Maybe not even as strong as a word as liaison. ICANN board has two liaisons to the technical community. And we enjoy participation from IANA at our own meetings. But there are no GAC representatives at our meetings where the policy is being made. We want to have early input. We don't want to see a policy that goes all the way up and then gets new, not necessarily new input, but old input that we've seen before, but we've already discussed, and it's well understood why those topics are, where those concerns are already addressed. So maybe get early engagement by having these kinds of liaisons or just information exchange. So a way to support that kind of engagement would be excellent.
Great. Thank you. Mike Pelage next.
Thank you. Mike Pelage. I'll keep this short. I think following up on Aisha with regard to metrics, I don't want to sound like Jonathan Zook, who always talks about metrics, but I think in trying to be effective here, does ICANN, Kurt, have any metrics on how it determines its return on investment outreach as far as how many people continue on in the process? And I guess one of the other things, this being my 40th meeting, I look back over 12, 13 years, I see people that have come into the process and then drop out. So one of the things that I think would be helpful is not only how do you get people to engage, but perhaps find out why people disengage.
Wendy, remote participation comment?
Yes,
and then Chuck after you.
Okay, thank you. This is Wendy. I'm speaking on the behalf of the remote participants. I've got a couple of comments, and then I'll end it with a few questions. So they're from Klaus and Sam. Comment, we need to build the capacities to allow a broad spectrum of people and organizations to get involved. Capacity building has to happen on two levels, knowledge transfer and also creating the resources for a broad range of social sector organizations to participate in the internet. At the moment, participation in the internet governance is a luxury only a few people and organizations can afford. We want to avoid creating elites. What we want to create is depth and broadness. I wish that ICANN, together with its constituencies like NPOC and the constituencies' member organizations, such as GKPF, jointly develop and implement outreach, information, and capacity-building programs. There's a lot of capacity outside ICANN that ICANN and ICANN staff can tap into. ICANN is not alone in this. Good internet governance is in all our interests. And then a couple of short comments. Agree with the speaker that we need a general awareness, build understanding, and then move into contributing and actively participating. Also, this may be out of context now, but I think they were agreeing with something a speaker was saying, but the comment was, ICANN does not have to do it alone. There are a lot of allies that want to join the effort. And then another comment from Sam. The newcomer sessions at ICANN are good introductory sessions for anyone new, but unfortunately I see it is limited to people attending the ICANN meeting offline or online. I hope the same session material pushed to newcomers in the universities, ISOCs, and other areas where people have interest, high use of internet. And then a couple other short comments. Outreach is more than talking to people. Good outreach is more than that. Good outreach connects to people by working together on common interests. And Klaus also said NPOC and GKPF are planning a joint event in Baku IGF that will do just that. It will deal with the specific question of social sector and internet governance. Excuse me. And so these are the three questions. Those were the comments. And the questions are all from Sam. So I'll just read them each if you want to speak to them.
And we'll let Kurt decide whether he... Well, please read them, and then
we can
after the session, we may be able to answer them. Yeah.
Okay. So, question: why ICANN doesn't look at IGF regional forums, Europe, Asia, Arab, Africa, etc., as a venue to push better awareness of ICANN activities and policies? Has this been done before? Second question: is ICANN planning to develop material providing specific sessions for governments regionally? And does ICANN have any joint effort or activities with other organizations such as ITU or any other UN agency such as ESCWA, for example?
Thank you very much. Can you, just hand it forward to Chuck? The next person that I'd like to hear from is the gentleman behind Aisha. Marilyn and Bill have raised their hands, and I'd like to take advantage of their spot in the queue to sort of help us wrap up. I'm sorry for anybody who may have come in a little bit later, but we're running really tight on time, and I want to devote 3 or 4 minutes to next steps and what we accomplish between now and Toronto. So with that in mind, Chuck.
Thanks, Rob. Chuck Gomes. I'm going to defer my comment to next steps if we have time for that, rather than detract from the good theme that's going now. Make it now? Well, it's really on a different track, Kurt. So I like the discussion that's going on. Let me wait, okay?
Okay. You won't have much time, but if the gentleman behind Aisha speaks, then we'll turn it back to you, Chuck, and then Marilyn and Bill. Thanks. Hello. Can you please make sure, just for the transcript, that you tell us who you are and where you're from? Thanks.
Sure. Thank you. My name is Hilal Asiabi. I'm from .om registry from Oman. All of these are great ideas and great comments for outreach, for ICANN outreach programs. But one suggestion is that to create a regional social network for ICANN, which would be beneficial not only for an outreach program, but it will carry a pool of knowledge for all common interest ICANN issues. So they can, by the way, I'm a newcomer, and this is my first experience to ICANN, and I think I've learned a lot just in...
Welcome.
Thank you. So I think within the regions, there are common issues that can be mutually discussed, and then, of course, those... regional centers are linked to other regions as well as to the ICANN, and this program maybe can be carried out by the fellowship program from ICANN or any other associations linked to ICANN. And I think this, because the regional, the region where I'm coming from, I think yesterday I had a meeting from my fellow from United Arab Emirates, and we have a common interest within the registries and within issues that are related to our region. And those, of course, we are linked to the bigger pictures, which is all the other bigger topics discussed in ICANN.
Thank you. Could you just quickly hand the mic to the lady next to you who also raised her hand? We'll give you, if you could make a quick comment, then you, Chuck. Will that work? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm Dr. Mona Al-Ash'ar from Lebanon. And I wanted to say the same things he was talking about because I am from Lebanon. And I didn't see people here, participants from Lebanon. I'm a newcomer, and I liked very much the fellowship program. And I want to see how we can integrate parts of this program in the Pan-Arab Observatory activities, because we believe that it is very important for the region to know about or even to participate in ICANN activities. Thank you.
Thank you very much and welcome. Chuck, noting your segue before, any comments on the existing discussion and then sort of smoothly take us into next steps, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, Rob, I'll give it a shot. Chuck Gomes. First of all, this is a very valuable session, as others said, and I think hopefully you've received some input that certainly sounds to me is very helpful in moving forward. But I think in considering next steps, we need to understand better where we're at. I attended the ICANN Academy session yesterday morning, and I detected a certain amount of confusion in terms of where we're at. Xavier shared that there's $40,000 in the budget. We haven't all seen that yet because the approved budget hasn't been posted. But for leadership training, I'm really supportive of leadership training. The GNSO recommendations for improvement calls for leadership training and training of others as well. So I guess I'm curious, and we can take this offline, I'm curious where that $40,000 budget item came from, how it relates to the various activities going on, like the GNSO improvements, like the at-large proposal for the ICANN Academy, et cetera. And I think it's incumbent upon us not only to understand those things, but to start to bring these efforts, multiple efforts, together.
Mr. Peretz.
So, thanks. So this is Kurt. So I think that's good. If I were to do it, I would have, and I'm sorry I didn't help, but I think our discussion is about the ICANN Academy, or whatever we want to call it, and what activities we think are the most important to undertake first, whether it's some initial steps or it's a broader, trial run of an ICANN Academy with certain steps in it, and sort of disregard the budget number and say, this is, if we were starting up this program, this is where we think, this is how I would start it to be most effective, and this is where I think we have the most payoff. And then, compare with available budget and, not spend money we don't have to, but if we can demonstrate rate of return, not just in dollars, of course, but in terms of our goals, that's the argument for, getting some more money or getting the right size. So I don't think we should try to, and you know this too, but so I'm kind of paraphrasing what you said, but we shouldn't be backing into a number. We should say, and this is what we think would really pay off for the ICANN community, regardless of where we are in the budgeting cycle.
Marilyn has graciously given up her spot to somebody else. So I'm going to let that lady speak. Then, Bill, I'm going to sort of give you the last word in terms of next steps and the rest. Please, welcome.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Gabriela Slack. This is my third meeting, and this time I've been a fellow, and I am an alumni now. And this year I also participated at the Newcomers Lounge, which was a great experience with the team with Marilyn and also Adela. So and I'm also a member of the business constituency. So after these experiences, of course, I'm linking everything I know, and I have some ideas about how to maybe use The efforts that the Newcomers Lounge or the Newcomers Program is doing, also together with outreach activities among constituencies, not only to leave this newcomer program alone, but to use, like, make some kind of communication between the constituencies and the Newcomers Program. And I found out that many people maybe don't know yet about what the Newcomer Program is about, and I think it's really important, and I'm very happy that two newcomers have spoken here because they were both talking to me at the lounge, so I think it was a good experience. Another thing is completely different, and it's about InReach. And for instance, I'm participating in a working group right now, and I felt completely like a kamikaze. Do you know that word? because I'm really not, and I'm still feeling like that, because I'm not really knowing how this process is about. I don't know anything about policy in ICANN. I'm just experiencing it and learning about it in the process. So, for instance, I don't know what happens after the working group finishes this process. I don't know how this goes in the community. I'm expected to learn this in the process, but it would be really nice to know the whole process before I'm into this working group. So I think the InReach is also important for people to feel engaged and to really being able to participate in a more useful way. So thank you very much for the opportunity to talk.
Great, thank you. I'd like to give Bill the last word from the community, then Kurt perhaps the last word in terms of your understanding. Then I'll do a really quick summary because I realize we have the Public Participation Committee starting right after this, and perhaps some of them arrived a little early and are benefiting from this conversation. Bill.
Just a quick anecdote and then a comment. The anecdote is based on what Aisha said about numbers and perceptions and so on. We were in Korea, and after the meeting, there was a little conference at Seoul National University where we talked about internet governance. I went there, and a woman got up and gave a presentation about how it's impossible for developing countries to participate in ICANN and how ICANN is completely just an American organization. And I said, well, hold on. And I pulled out the attendance list from the Korea meeting, and I started saying, okay, this person's from Lebanon, this person's from Oman, this person's from... But then I thought, well, why isn't there information aggregated in a simple way that I could point to like this? I mean, the IGF puts out for every meeting a breakdown of who participated by stakeholder groups and regions and things like that. Well, why don't we have something that shows what level of engagement there is? So it's a little hard when... talking to staff who aren't hearing me. But anyway, so I really think that, you know, this is the kind of simple thing to start with. And then the more important point is, obviously there's a lot of energy in this community around this issue. There are a lot of people who have been talking about this for a long time. We haven't known what staff is doing or planning. We should institutionalize some sort of process, some sort of team, discussion space, whatever, where we can continue the conversation. We should leverage the meetings better to do that. Why not have a standing session on the program every time about outreach so that the people that are involved in this can get together and talk and set up a listserv and some other tools for in between and try to begin to define, you know, priorities and what we want to do, particularly focusing on developing country issues, I would argue.
I think that was a very good summary. Thank you, Bill. With the Public Participation Committee is starting to come in. I think some of them were sitting in the back of the room, I hope, listening to this very useful conversation. What we're going to do in terms of process is produce for all the people that received Kurt's initial email and any of those who participated in this session, we would very much like to have from you your email addresses if you're interested in future participation. And then there have been a number of staff, Bill, in the room taking copious notes, and we'll look forward very much to sharing that with you. And we'll share it with members of the Public Participation Committee as well. Thank you all very much for participating. Welcome to the PPC members. And let's just continue the dialogue after a very brief break with the PPC meeting. Thank you all.